Morning. Good to see that several of you have made it out on this cold morning, braved the weather to join us. My message today is entitled Seeking in the New Year. So for my very first, actually my only sabbatical, I decided to do something that people at the time thought was very strange for a minister to do. You see, I grew up in a Southern Baptist family, and we were very loyal churchgoers. And even after we made the switch to Presbyterian church, that perspective of the importance of church attendance stuck with me. I was even one of those kids who went off to college and spent my first few weekends looking for a church rather than my first college party. So, for my sabbatical, I decided to not go to church. It was actually a pretty big deal to me. I'd literally never missed more than one or two Sundays in a row for my entire life. Now, that wasn't the reason I decided to spend my sabbatical not going to church. That's just why it was sort of a big deal to me. The reason for doing what I did for my sabbatical was, well, an emerging spiritual group. And Christians were, well, very vocally against this group for lots of different reasons, but I was more curious about them than anything. I felt like there could easily be something important for us to learn from them. Now, the group is the spiritual but not religious. And at that point, they had already become the third largest group of spirituals in the world. As I said, myself as well as a few other progressive writer, blogger types were talking about the spiritual but not religious in a much more positive way than many other Christians were. One of the people who wrote for Jim Wallace's Sojourners magazine with me, a guy by the name of Tripp, shared with me a song whose lyrics he thought might be a good creed for the spiritual but not religious. Now, according to the Wikipedia page, a creed is a statement of belief, usually a statement of faith that describes the belief shared by a religious community and is often recited as part of a religious service. Well, the spiritual but not religious don't have a religious meeting. So, I suppose for them, anything that's recited with passion and has religious overtones could possibly be considered a creed. The song that my friend Tripp shared was U2's I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've been in a car, sometimes by myself, sometimes full of friends, and everyone in the car was singing that song to the top of their lungs with passion, deeply connected with the emotions. It's practically, honestly, it's practically its own religious experience. And in that, it connects deeply and it expresses something about the God which we passionately identify with and try to seek out. Let me just share with you a few of the lyrics. I climbed the highest mountain. I have run through the fields only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled the city walls only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. So the singer's crying out, but basically saying, I've searched everywhere because I want so badly to be with you, to know you, but you, you're hidden from me. I can't find you. I'm looking for you, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. He then concludes the song saying, I believe in the kingdom come, then all colors will bleed into one. Well, yes, I'm running. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, the singer there is basically saying, I believe. I believe that someday we'll all come together and colors will melt away. I believe. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. At first, that might seem almost sacrilegious to claim all those things and then to claim that you can't find God. Well, the reality is that for a lot of Christians, that kind of talk seems offensive. And some of them can get, well, disturbingly aggressive about it. But the truth is, Christians really should have absolutely zero problems believing that a person of great faith can also still feel like they are seeking something larger than them that they have yet to find. They only really need to look at the crucifixion story of the one they profess to follow. In that story, a great spiritual leader hangs from a cross and he shouts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It isn't a cry of why are you doing this to me? It's a cry of where are you? I can't find you. And the thing is, he was very knowledgeable about Scripture, and when he would quote those Scriptures, he wasn't cherry-picking them to make them mean what he wanted them to mean. He understood the full meaning of this Scripture's particular context. This particular Scripture comes from Psalms, where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Those are the words of a seeker. Some say it's from King David. The words that Jesus references as he dies. I cry by day, but you do not answer. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, it's truly odd that so many Christians have issues with thinking of God as someone, something that is somewhat unknowable, something that leaves us seeking. I mean, we just finished observing Christmas here, and that story is chocked full of people seeking. Mary and Joseph are seeking out a place to give birth to their son. I'm sure they sought out a nice, quiet, clean place, but they did not find what they were looking for. Found a dirty manger in a room full of baying and neighing and mooing and peeping animals. And then sometime later, the Magi would set out looking for this child. And along the way, as they searched him out, they visited a local king who, not surprisingly, was searching for this foretold king who he believed would threaten his power. King Herod would even tell them to search for the child and let him know when they found him. And when they do find him, the angel tells them to find a new way home. Then sometime later, Jesus and his family would flee from all that they knew in search of a safe place to live. You know, the truth is, the two of the major religions in this world, Judaism and Christianity, are stuffed full of religious stories about the constant reality of seeking out something, searching for something. Adam and Eve seek out knowledge. Noah seeks out shelter from the storm. Abraham seeks out the land that he is being sent to. Joseph seeks out an understanding of the king's dream and so he can bring his family together. Moses seeks to bring his people out to the promised land. David seeks to become the leader God clearly believes he is. The prophets seek to bring people back to God's way. Jesus seeks to show people what love looks like. Paul seeks to grow the church. You know, as a Christian minister, I see it clearly. Christians are seekers. It's our story. We cannot escape it, nor should we try. I think it's part of why this particular gathering of other seekers is so important to me. No matter what a person's current religious outlook is or isn't, the willingness to be open and seek. The story of the Magi, combined with the story of Jesus and his family becoming refugees early on in his life, reminds me of this reality. Possibly even more starkly than any other stories in the Bible. Even more starkly than Jesus calling out from the cross, "Where are you? I can't find you." It makes me want to live out a seeker's life, to mirror the images of those seekers who have gone before me, like Abraham and Sarah, and all of those throughout the age who sought out their God, who were not afraid to travel into the unknown if that's where seeking sent them. Just like the Magi who traveled to a land they probably didn't know, to face confrontations with folks like kings that they never could have imagined, seeking might be a difficult thing, but it seems to be important. What holds the key to seeking being productive, I think, is at least twofold. First, even when you're not finding what you're looking for, remain open to the reality that it still may be there. From the life and poems of David to Jesus on the cross, some of the most sincere seekers have felt what seems like the absence of what they are looking for. And the second thing to ensure that your seeking is somewhat productive is to be extra diligent in constantly assessing whether you are truly seeking God, what or whomever that may be to you, and not merely seeking out your own personal agenda wrapped around somebody else's idea of God, which happens to support your personal agenda. Old King Herod made that mistake. He said he was seeking out Jesus, but truthfully, he was seeking out the ability to maintain his power without having to face off with the newborn king of the Jews. And unlike the Magi, who were truly just seeking out this baby, Herod sought out his own agenda, and he found himself facing his own demons as he killed off a kingdom of four firstborns in order to find the babe of Bethlehem, as the story goes. In that Christmas story, Jesus and his family were seeking nothing more than to follow, to find the purpose that had been set before them. They were willing to give up everything to do it. They fled to Africa on nothing more than the words of a dream. Unlike Herod, they packed up their own agendas and sought to follow. No matter where your particular religious perspective is, my question for you today is, what do you choose to seek out in the new year? Will you seek out just your own good? Will you seek out a higher good? Will you pursue a larger understanding of God, love, the universe? Or will you stick with what is comfortable and what is known? Will you be willing to pack up your own agenda and follow where the quest leads you? Seeking out God is a lifetime quest, so we must never settle down. If the things that feed your soul, from TVs to books to the church you attend, if the things that feed your soul only reinforce what you already knew, you've settled down and are no longer seeking out a fuller spiritual life. Bring things into your life that challenge your way of thinking. Like Jesus and his family in this new year, be willing to give up everything you thought you knew in order to continue to seek out this thing that we sometimes call God. Even when it feels like it is absent or not listening, hold on to your quest and pursue it relentlessly. If you will imitate that story, one that plays out over and over again throughout the stories and people of religions throughout the world, I can promise you that this time next year, not only will you have a fuller spiritual life, but this spiritual community will be more filled with a seeking spirit and those seeking a larger spiritual life than ever before. And though we still will not have found what we are looking for, we will know that we might be facing in the right direction, and that we are not alone. Here with the spiritual community, your thoughts on the topic for today. Are there those who have perspectives or thoughts they'd like to share with everyone else?
My name is Shirley White, and I am very grateful to be here today, to be with this wonderful group of people, to have the talk. And I am very thankful for my Welsh and background and my Presbyterian bringing up. And I'm going to go home today and pull out some of the old family Bibles and look at them. And it just gives you pause for thought from the perspective that you're really never quite done looking. Looking within yourself, reaching out, coming to showing up. And I am just very grateful for this opportunity to be here today and to have this place held sacred and available to us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for sharing that very much. Are there others?
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm a person who somewhat recently considered myself spiritual but not religious. I remember not long after I started coming here, one of the musicians, I think, performed that song. And I remember, I'm not sure prior to that, that I was very aware of the lyrics. It was one of those songs that you might hear on the radio and but not really catch all of the lyrics and not really know exactly what it was about. And once I finally caught all of the lyrics, I found myself resonating with it quite a bit. I don't really know. At this point, I'm kind of rambling. But, yeah, just I feel like I'm still sort of on my journey. I'm glad to have a place like this that's progressive where I can get back to some of my Christian roots but still feel open to explore other ideas as well.
So. Great. Thanks for sharing.
Good morning. I'm Jim. Thank you, Mark. Seeking is what we all are about, and we don't have to go very far. All we have to do is look all around us. That was the message of the man. The divine is sitting right next to you, and all we have to do is open our eyes. And Mother Teresa said, when we hug each other, and I believe in hugging. And my friend, Ralph Coffin, he is a big hugger. That when we hug each other, that is God hugging us. So when we finish here, give someone a hug, or several people a hug.
Are there any others? If not, then... Oh, it's her hand. I just missed it. Mark.
My mother has a few, it's kind of a trio of autoimmune diseases that travel together. She's had for many years, and one of them's called scleroderma, and it causes tissues to harden, and also one of the symptoms is severe dryness. So she doesn't produce tears, and she has a lot of eye problems with things building up that would normally be washed away in the tearing process. But it's funny that Ancestry.com has been running a special, you know, around the holidays for people to send in and get their DNA done. So that's what my mother wanted my dad to get her for the holidays was each of them to get a kit and send off. So my dad sent his off, came back. Was no surprises, really, in his DNA. But my mother had told me that she had tried for several days to produce enough saliva to get a sample to send off. So she thought she had enough. Anyway, they sent her a note back, said that we can't use your sample. We're going to send you another kit. So she's been trying to come up with ways that she can produce enough liquid to be able to analyze her DNA. So she's got her other kit, and they told her she could save it in the refrigerator and just try it. They told her, put sugar on your tongue. Maybe that'll cause you, all different kind of things she's been. But anyway, that was just an interesting thing, heritage-wise, that it happened. But like most folks, there's a lot of different mixed emotions and things that are going on during the holidays. And sometimes I feel like a Grinch a little bit around the holidays. I'm just usually not in a real festive mood around the holidays for various reasons. But we have a holiday event there at work. I work at UNCG, and for the last several years, it's been a very, very, very Christian event. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of folks that are members of, gospel choirs and their churches and things. And so that's flavored this whole event. And so I found myself having to write a letter to the vice chancellor that's over our division about our holiday event and about being sensitive to other religions and the place that we're all at. And because, it's bothered me for a few years, but especially now we've got a dispatcher, a young lady who is Muslim, who wears the headdress every day. And it was just excruciating for me to sit through the event and with her sitting right in front of the gospel choir, and every single song was something about being washed in the blood. I felt like I had to bring this to the attention of the vice chancellor, that there's a place for that, but this might not be the place. So anyway, I was not here for a few events here recently, and appreciated also the message this morning.
Thanks for sharing, Mark.